How many feel like you've been in church today? Well, if I'm going to be true to the word, I need to get busy because the Lord ministered. But we need to be true to the word because God confirms his word with signs and wonders. So finishing up our study that we've been on for the last umpteen weeks, this is our seventh installment of the lesson on what should Christians expect from God. We've been through to be changed, to be filled, to receive blessing, to be fruitful, to be holy, to win souls, and today it's to be like Jesus. 1 John 2:6 says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself." Father, I pray that this word go deep within us. That, Lord, we mix it with faith and it become a seed germinating within us that brings a bumper crop harvest in us, bring us closer and closer to you. Lord, you build us up as a spiritual house. Let this be one of the building blocks in us today, that what you've ministered to me, I can minister to them and they will receive. I pray for ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand in Jesus' name. Whoever says he abides in him. In other words, if you're claiming to be a believer of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, you're claiming to be a believer of him and a follower of him, as a personal debt to him, we need to walk and conduct ourselves in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. We could stop right there and just chew on that, because there's only been one person that walked so close to God that he was not found anymore, and that was before the flood. That was Enoch. One man out of how many men and women that have lived in this age? One man that was found to walk with God so close that he took him. There was one woman out of a nation of Israel of all the ages that was found to have favor with God enough to become the mother of our Messiah, the mother of our Lord. How much favor do you think you had to have with Almighty God for him to come to you and say, "Blessed are you among all women"? Wow. I mean, I'm not wanting to say we don't measure up, but 1 John 2:6 is a big measuring stick. I don't know if you remember the song that we used to sing, "I had a debt I could not pay, he had a debt he did not owe." That was before we accepted Jesus. What more do we owe him after we realize what he's paid and what he saved us from? We owe him more than we could ever repay. Amen. We ought to walk the same way he did. Like the children of Israel, the Christians at Antioch, believers at Antioch, they were walking so close to him that the people said, you're like this Christ you're talking about. You talk like him. You act like him. All the things you say he did, we see you do. They called him the little anointed ones, the Christians. Are we living up to even the name of being Christian? When people ask you, what church do you go to? Or what denomination are you? And you say, I'm a Christian. Or do they come to you and say, wow, if there ever was a Jesus walking this earth, I see him in you. Because you walk and talk and act like Jesus would. That's what he's talking about here. We need to get so in love with him that we want to walk and talk and act just like him. We owe him that debt. 10,000 years from now, are you going to say, "King's X, I was just joking. I really don't want anything to do with it anymore"? I doubt it. How much more those now that say, I'm walking away. I really didn't have anything to do with it. I don't want to live like this. This is too hard for me. Then it's not a love relationship. Because when you're in love with someone, you want to spend time with them. You want to get to know them. start. You ever seen the pictures of men and women that they're early on in their marriage and then later on they start looking like each other? They start answering each other's sentences. I'm not talking about twins. You guys do it already. You answer each other's thoughts. Okay? Yeah, I will hear a conversation started here that's finished there, and it's the full conversation. Okay? And then you hear that in husband and wives sometimes. They're so close to each other. So, honey, will you get? I'm already getting it. I'm on my way. You know? And it was the right thing. That's because of a relationship, and there's a love there, and there's a companionship there that others can't get into. It's special, just like a twin relationship is special because you guys had something special all your lives that siblings couldn't understand. I won't say they don't understand you, but I'm going to be careful. As we go on to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, pattern yourselves after me. Follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ the Messiah. We read and study Paul's words. I mean, he wrote one-third of the New Testament, if not more. Two-thirds of the New Testament. Most of the New Testament. All of the epistles, or most of the epistles, are written by him. How many of those do we say we actually live by? Or do we open up one of his epistles and say, oh my goodness, he says that too? Paul followed Christ enough that he was able to say, follow me as I follow him. Paul lived a life of example. Can we say we even live up to Paul's example, let alone trying to live up to Christ's? And we owe everything to Christ. As believers, we should strive to grow deeper and deeper in the understanding of what Christ means to us. Paul does a great job of laying that out to us. We've been in Ephesians, what now, 2 years? 2 years every Sunday going through verse after verse in Ephesians. And we could start over and get new out of it if we started over. But God has been leading us and teaching us and letting us chew deeply on that word each week. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even to this were you called. Is everybody here called? Been called to follow him? Even to this were you called. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example so that you should follow in his footsteps. You mean it's not I got saved, I can go do what I want and all my sins are forgiven, it doesn't matter what I do? There is a relationship walk. If your life isn't measuring up to Christ, you've got work to do personally. And I would say, venture to say, all of us, including me in this room, fall into that category. Because until we get our glorified bodies and we're in heaven, we will all say that we fall short. But glory to God, it says we don't know what we're going to be like when we're glorified, but we will be. When we see him, we will be like him. And I'm not talking about just physical. Right now we're striving to be like him in our spirit. It says we will be like him. We will be completed and glorified. Amen? Look forward to that day. It's coming soon. You can almost hear the latch on the door opening. If the angel would do a few test notes on the shofar, we'd all jump. Because it's that close. It's that close. Following Christ as our personal example includes living without pride in ourselves. What was the thing that caused mankind to fall? What was the thing that caused Lucifer to fall? It all comes back to pride. Lucifer even played on the pride in Eve. Oh, surely he didn't say that. He wouldn't limit you for that. Well, no, he wouldn't. It is good for food. Yeah, hey, you know, well, God said no, but hey, he told us we could eat. But and so it was her pride that led her to be deceived. Adam did it open-eyed, knowing what God had said, because he didn't want to lose Eve. It was half of him. bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. It was his companion. He walked into it knowingly and sold us into the sin slavery. So following Christ includes living without pride in ourselves, living to reach others in his love, his example, and the message of reconciliation. As we sang in the songs, the first worship song said, basically, forgive me because it's, forgive me for what I've made worship, because it's not about me. It's all about you. And when we get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes onto him, we don't want to look at ourselves anymore because we start seeing things that need to change. But when we look to him, we see acceptance and love and beauty. Amen. We need to take this same message out to the world, to others we interact with. Because they can't see Jesus and spend time in worship with him like we can until they get saved. But they can see him in us. We are a vessel with that light in us. We are also to be salt and light. If all the salt stays in the salt shaker, the stew doesn't get any seasoning, right? You need to get out of the salt shaker once in a while and get out. You don't turn the stew into salt. You just season. You become the blessing while you're there. Amen. What did Christ do? He didn't come down and start zapping people for being sinners. Think about the woman who was caught in adultery. There had to be a man too for it to be caught in adultery. But the woman was the only one brought. Jesus said, let him without sin cast the first stone. Guess what? The only one standing there that could cast a stone at all was him. And he didn't. And he asked her, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. This was the Creator telling her, I don't condemn you. I don't accuse you. Go and sin no more. What's he do for you? The same thing. Amen. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children, imitate their father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. We're to walk in that love. God is love. We've heard messages about how God is love. And if we imitate him, what's that? What should be pouring out of us? The same love. Amen? Does that same unselfish love that God has for the world live in us? He sent his son knowing his son was going to die at the hands of the very men they created. But he loved man so much, he knew that his son had to go through that because someone had to die for a sin sacrifice. Could we do that with our children? It's hard enough for a mom to send their sons or daughters off to war. It's even worse when they have to receive them back and have a funeral. What about God? He gave his only begotten son because he loved. The hardest thing for a person to do is to empty themselves and give to others. The fact that someone does that, we call them a hero. Just recently, there was a young man in a Colorado teen that ran towards the shooters at that STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math school. He gave his life and died. He grabbed a hold of one of the shooters and ended up dying because of the gunshots so that his friends wouldn't die. And others were able to take the gun away from that particular shooter and stop the killing. He's called a hero because he gave his life so his friends would not be killed or hurt. His father said, I wish that he'd run the other way and hid because I want him here. But then again, this was so like him. He was always doing something for others. And so he's being honored as a hero one of the other portions here in this Ephesians, being imitators of God, copy him. Have you ever watched kids out in a public place? They're with their family. Something happens, maybe someone spills something or someone says something that was unkind. The kids, maybe it's a sidelong glance, maybe it's a direct gaze. They look to mom and dad. How are you going to handle this? And over time, they start packaging away the how are they going to handle this so that when it happens to them later on or something like it, they can imitate what they saw. We're told to be imitators of God. Imitators of him. The only way you can be an imitator is you have to spend time with him. Get to know how he handles these various situations. Imagine how the children of Israel felt when they were staring the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptians behind them and the hills on either side. They turned on Moses. Hey, weren't there enough graves back there? You had to bring us out here that we'd be killed? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They had never seen the seas opened up. They'd never heard of the seas opened up. But they saw it. And they walked through on dry ground. It's amazing that scientists try to say, oh, it was only a few inches deep, or a tsunami happened and it rolled the waters back for a time and it came crashing back. But a tsunami pulling the water back doesn't mean that the ground's dry either. It's still going to be as muddy as it was. And it's also amazing that the same water they supposedly trudged through that was ankle deep or whatever that scientists try to say, killed all those Egyptians in their chariots and their horses. Which is the bigger miracle, that the waters rolled back and it came crashing in, or that the Egyptians drowned in inch deep water? If they want to go there, let's look at the other side of it, because the army was killed. And what did Rahab say? We heard what happened. We heard what your God did for you. It wasn't something done in a vacuum. And the 40 years that they walked around the wilderness, they got to learn about their God. They got to learn and understand their God. What happened when they crossed the Jordan and went into Jericho? They weren't the same slaves they were when they left Egypt. They were victorious. Caleb at 80 years old took a mountain of giants. Anybody else want to go after a mountain of giants at 80? He was asked, do you want some help? We'll send some with you. He goes, nope, I'll do it myself. Amen. Children emulate their parents, their thinking, their action, their mannerisms. You ever looked at one of your brothers and say, or your sister, and say, that's just like what dad would look like or say, or that's just like what mom would say or do? Or, oh, I heard mom come out of my own mouth. Oops. We take on the mannerisms of those that we inhabit this place with. Are we doing the same with our walk with God? Amen. John chapter 13, starting with verse 13, says, you call me the teacher, master, and Lord. And you're right in doing so, for that is what I am. If then your Lord and teacher or master have washed your feet, you ought, it is your duty, you're under obligation, you owe it, to wash one another's feet. For I've given you this as an example, so that you should do in your turn what I have done to you. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed and happy, and to be envied are you if you practice them, if you act accordingly and really do them. It's real difficult to have pride in your life while someone that you respect is washing your feet. I've had that done once in my life. Sister Margaret Highnote, she said, sit down there, Jeff, and take your shoes off. I said, no. I sound like Peter. No, I can't let you wash my feet. I have to. And she did. And the whole time that she washed my feet, she was praying for me. And tears were streaming down my face. Because this is someone I looked up to. This is someone that discipled me. And got to see me go out into the ministry. I called her mom, spiritual mom. And here she was washing my feet. I said, I should be washing yours. She goes, no, I need to wash yours. Jesus did this by example, not that we make foot washing a sacred act within the church. But it's difficult for you to be the one washing the feet and criticizing the one you're washing. He's talking about our heart attitude here. When we see someone that hasn't quite measured up in the way they're walking with the Lord, we shouldn't be upbraiding them or talking down to them or giving them reason to feel inferior. We should be serving them because we were there once. We walked that way once. We needed our feet washed. Sometimes we needed our bottoms paddled. God can take you out in the woodshed and knock you into next week, right? See, Jesus gave us an example. And we forget that we're supposed to do the same. Paul gave us an example as he followed Christ. And he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Then he gave us most of the New Testament. I love reading Paul's letters. They're so full of so much. And you can read this one and then read that one and then go back and say, oh, now I see what you said over here because it brings light out over here. Then you read the Old Testament and he brings light to stuff from the Old Testament in the light that what Christ did. And it's just so enlightening. But would I ever say that I have gotten to the point where Paul was when he gave his life? I am far short of that. And if I'm far short of that, I'm far short of where Christ is. Now, am I sinning? No. I'm doing everything I can to live as close to Jesus as I can. And the more I learn, the more I try to live by. And guess what? One of these days, I'll get to see him face to face. Can you imagine a reception line with all the believers wanting to hug Jesus at the same time? Hey, folks, we'll have plenty of time for that. We're in the clouds. We got wedding supper of the Lamb to go to. Come on, follow me. Let's go. Jesus leading us back through the clouds. You, in your new body, glorified body. And guess what? As you come through that gate into heaven, the angels are going to be singing, worthy is the Lamb. And those who have dipped their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Singing to about him, but also about all of us who believed on his name. We have loved ones in heaven as spirit right now in their spirit bodies. They will also be just as enamored because they have their glorified bodies. But they'll say, Mary, just wait. You haven't seen the half of it yet. We've only got to the gate. Wait till I show you what's inside. Amen. One of these days, and it won't be long, we're going to join him in a song. Amen. Today, he asks us to imitate him in what he did when he was here so that we together can show the world that Jesus is still alive and remains. Galatians 3:27 tells us, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, have put on and clothed yourselves with Christ. Have we put on Christ? We asked him into our heart, but we actually put him on? Do we wake up in the morning and say, make me more like you today, Father? Make me more like you today, Jesus. Let me walk where you want to walk. Let me talk where you want to talk. How did Jesus imitate the Father? He only said what he heard the Father say. He only did what he saw the Father do. He was watching his Father while here to walk where he wanted him to walk. And he was the blessed Son. People flocked to him, brought their sick, sit for hours to listen to his words. greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. He said that because he expects us to put on Christ. Amen. Do we do what he did? You can. He gives you the strength to do it. Philippians 4. Call on him to strengthen you in all of your ways. Father, I ask that this word go deep within each one of us, that you minister to those areas in us that you specifically put in here for each one of us. Let us emulate and imitate you and your Son as we are the light of this world, the salt of this earth. And Father, I thank you that one of these days the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to leave this place. Until then, Lord, let us imitate Jesus and emulate you and him and your love for this world. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead and do the Berakit Kohanim. I think God's already ministered to each one of us today. I know he did me. Amen. Let God put his blessing on you.
Yevarechech Adonai v'yishmorecha. Yad Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yesa Adonai panav elecha v'shem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Shalom.